Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
I had a conversation one time with this couple, and they'd been married, maybe it was 5 or 6 years, and they were so proud of the fact that they'd never had an argument. Then the more time I spent with them, I realized they also didn't have an intimate marriage, as if they didn't really know each other. And so conflict can create an intimacy, but it's how it's handled. And the truth is, we're going to disagree about stuff.
I've been doing a lot of thinking.
You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, APU School of Business and Management offers 12 undergraduate majors and minors. That's true, along with an MBA program, graduate management degree that's offered online and on campus. You can join the ranks of Fortune 500 CEOs and top-level managers who make up our alumni and discover how to lead with integrity if you want more information on that. Remember, a lot of this material is available online as well, so you don't have to come to California necessarily to actually be a part of the APU academic experience. Go to apu.edu and you can hang out with us on the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. Today we're talking marriage. Holly and Philip Wagner are with us. Growing in love with your spouse is our theme. This is the second half of a two-part conversation. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and today is a very special day. We have Holly and Philip Wagner with us. We're talking about building healthy relationships. Don't miss this program, by the way. Growing in love with your spouse. Holly Wagner, Philip Wagner, they're co-pastors at a great church called Oasis Christian Center, authors, teachers. Holly leads an organization called God Chicks, which we'll want to find out about as well. And they have two children, Jordan and Paris, and they make their home in Southern California. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, glad
nice
to be back.
To be here.
I've been looking so forward to it, and I mentioned on the last broadcast, Philip, you and I went to school together and played basketball together and, you know, did so much together. And as I come back and watch...
Okay, I'm just picturing this, and it's hysterical.
Yeah, well, I did have hair, too. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
He was always better looking, but I do have hair. We went to dances together. Not that we danced together.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, yeah, go ahead, clarify that, would you?
It's neat to have a friend who walks with God and who leads people. And I follow you on Twitter and whatnot. And it's just really a joy. It's a joy to have you with us again on this. You've written a great book, both of you, called God Chicks and the Men They Love. Holly, you'll write a chapter, and then Philip, you'll write a chapter. And I love the book. And I've said this, you know, in the last broadcast, how much I did love it. And I want to talk about more of the painful side to relationships. You know, Holly, you work with women, and Philip, as a pastor, you see this all the time in relationships, but you say that a lot of women are dealing with abandonment and abuse, and they bring that into a relationship, and I find that to be true. Talk about that.
Well, in every relationship, you bring your past with you. As much as we like to think we enter it all fresh and new, you know, a marriage is built on my past and history and personality and issues and his coming together. And, you know, the statistics are pretty staggering today about women who have been abused and who were really raised without fathers.
Right.
So their perception of men isn't always healthy. And then now all of a sudden they're in a marriage and it's just supposed to be healthy.
And for how a marriage works is when you can be trusting and you build intimacy. And so if you've got those broken places or wounded places in your soul, it's really hard to trust at a deep level and to open up. And so that is part of the journey that we have to go on.
So, and both of you would say that what they need to do is work toward healing and that process. I mean, you can be in a relationship at that point, but you really want to be as healthy as possible when you jump into a relationship.
Yes. Yeah, to start out being as healthy as you can, but again, it's that dedication, it's that value of always wanting to allow God to work deeper in your life. You know, Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that just happens at levels. It happens as we can open up another part of our soul or another part of our heart to God. And the same in our marriage.
Yeah.
the more we can open up to each other. And I mean, there are things I'm dealing with now that I wasn't even conscious of in the first couple of years of our marriage. And so the better we get at that, the more.
Yeah. As we're talking about this, Philip, what I noticed in some of your writing, and I would underline it and I would stare at it, because you were talking about honor, and you say women flourish when they are honored and empowered by the men in their world. You always say aim higher. The scripture says outdo one another in showing honor. How do you honor your spouse if your spouse has been wounded and your spouse is struggling, or your spouse is being negative, or they're not, you know, walking the program? How do you still show honor to them?
Well, I think honor is more than just admiration. It does include that, but in preferring them, you know, I'm if there is a wound, you're being sensitive to it, you're being aware of it, and not being condescending to somebody, but to really show that you care for them by encouraging growth in that area and healing. You know, we always encourage people in our church to include other people who are in the journey of healing, so that you're talking things through with other people that have the same desire to get free, to get healing.
And honor is just a key in marriage. And why don't you tell about the Michael Jordan illustration? I think that's a really good illustration.
Oh, yeah.
Just about honor.
You
speaking of basketball.
Yeah. I mean, one time I got to meet Michael Jordan, which is an awesome thing. And somebody in our church had access to one of the studios when he was recording Space Jam here in Southern California. And so I got to go over there, and he was my hero. And, you know, I'm married and have kids, and he's my hero. But I got to shake his hand, and I told everybody about it. I didn't want to wash my hand for weeks, you know. But the thing is, after a few months, he never called me. We never got together. Actually, he never called me. But here's somebody that I was making such a big deal of and honoring, and I'm never going to talk to him again probably, but Holly, I'm doing the rest of my life with her, and often I will withhold that honor or that admiration or appreciation, and or maybe vice versa, just expressing the how much we value each other. And I think that in marriages we do that because we, you know, take each other for granted. You see them all the time. And yet that is so powerful when you can really convey honor to them and about them.
Yeah, and you know, we have to be proactive about it. One of the things I liked in your book, God Chicks and the Men They Love, was you had something called the five qualities of a thriving relationship, where you're talking about honor and communication, patience, follow through, and humility. And I thought, you know what, those are things that we all know to be right, but we don't practice them sometimes in our marriages.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when we hit a wall or we're going through a crisis, then we revert back to those. Right. But when you're always looking to take a relationship deeper, you do find your way back to those things, because that's what really builds the foundation of a great relationship.
Yeah, and you look at those things and they seem boring. These aren't very sexy. What the heck? Follow through. How boring is that?
Right.
But honestly,
huge.
If you can't do what you said you would do, then the trust goes away, and I back up, and I intimacy is destroyed. Follow through is huge.
Right, right. You're right. You know, it's interesting, because when I would read in your book, I would notice that there would be these points where you'd have, you know, something like qualities of thriving relationship, and then there'd be other things where you'd name these others. And they were always things that you want to live out. And then
right.
You think, well, I don't know that I'm doing that. Like you say, follow through.
Right.
I mean, if a spouse doesn't follow through, you're really not showing honor. It goes back to the honor.
They all
work together. I want to talk a little bit about conflict. And Holly, you write about
conflict.
Oh,
we never fight.
Well, you say actually when it's handled maturely that conflict is actually a very good thing.
Yes, it is. You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation one time with this couple, and they'd been married, I don't know, maybe it was 5 or 6 years, and they were so proud of the fact that they'd never had an argument. And I kind of looked at them, and then the more time I spent with them, I realized they also didn't have an intimate marriage.
Right.
It was almost, they were as if they didn't really know each other. And so conflict can create an intimacy, but it's how it's handled. And the truth is, we're going to disagree about stuff. And you may not in the first two, you know, whatever it is, year, because you're still, you will eventually hit conflict where you disagree about things, and it's how it's handled. And for us, what was key was realizing, working really hard to realize that we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Because I never felt like that in the fight. Immediately, I felt like he's wrong and he's the enemy, and I have to try to convince him to think like I'm thinking. And so when I would do that, it would just create more of a problem. So in my soul, I had to go, okay, no, it's we. Together, we're going to resolve this issue, whatever it is, whether it's where we're going on vacation or what the in-laws are doing or how he, you know, does things around the house, whatever the issue might be, and there's always an issue. How you parent, whatever that might be. It's handling that together, I think. And then the words that you use. I mean, you've probably seen that too, just how people talk to each other and, you know, using careless words, using words like you always do it, you never. Yeah. And those aren't true.
Right.
Nobody always does anything
right.
or never does. And so I think sometimes just being very careful about the words that you use and the tone that you'd use them in. And then I had to pick a place to have a conversation with him. Because like in bed at night, it's not the time to have a conversation with a guy because then he starts snoring and then we got a whole other fight on my hands. And
is that just me or is that all guys?
No, yeah. No. I think that I mean, that is for sleeping or that other thing
that other thing.
We'll get into in terms
which
of
which is
that
the last chapter
side.
Of the
exactly,
book.
Exactly. I was having dinner the other night with a friend of mine named Bob Paul, who we've had on the program. He's the president of the National Institute of Marriage and he lives in Branson, but he was out here in California and we were talking with another guy. There was three of us. And he said, when you're in conflict, who's the enemy? And my friend said, my wife is. He said, that's your problem. Because if you do it together and you say, okay, the enemy is not, you're not the enemy. I'm not the enemy. The enemy is that we're going down the wrong road. We're going to try to do this together. That really made a difference. And I came back and that was kind of an aha for me.
Yeah.
And in fact, I do a marriage conference about once a month someplace. And I used it the next time. And it was Bob's material. But I just said that. And I there was a audible whoa, you know, in there just because they got the, you know, I read Holly, you said, don't blame, you know, you just can't blame, you know, put the blame always on the other person. Listen, we're going to have to take a quick break.
When we come back, we'll have the conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Holly and Philip Wagner. Growing in Love with Your Spouse is our theme. God, Chicks, and the Men They Love is Holly's book on this topic. And it's one we have up on our Homeward website today. If you go to the radio broadcast section and hit that tab, it takes you right to the listing of the programs that we have. Actually, all archived, by the way, all our previous programs. And some of the newer ones, too, as we work a little bit ahead in production. Of course, you can get that information if you're podcasting along with us, because then you get the programs as soon as we produce them and put them up. So if you'd like to jump ahead of the curve a little bit so you can listen on demand, we encourage you to go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, and hit that tab. And there's a podcast button there that takes you right to our site on iTunes. You may already have other podcasts that you like to listen to. If that's the case, then just subscribe along with us. Or if you'd like to establish an iTunes account so that you can actually get the Homeward podcast of the Monday through Friday edition of our broadcast, that's free. We don't have any cost involved in that. Just your time going to the radio broadcast section at homeward.com.
Well, it's no secret that marriage brings out the best and the worst in a couple, but there is a way to cope with those ups and downs. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to the question of how to withstand the highs and the lows of marriage. Well, my wife Kathy and I have been married more than 30 years, and she's seen me at my best, and she's also seen me at my worst. Well, during my low points, she has every reason to not respect me, but that's where grace comes in. If your spouse has some major issues, like drug or alcohol addiction, for example, well, I know it can be pretty difficult to respect their behavior. While I'm not telling you to look the other way, I do encourage you to grow together spiritually. Grace opens the door for the transparency necessary for vulnerability, repentance, and ultimately reconciliation. In a truly intimate marriage, it is possible to respect your spouse even though you don't approve of their behavior. So be gracious and start creating the kind of intimate marriage you've been longing for. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with Real Life Answers. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Building healthy relationships and growing in love with your spouse is what we're talking about. Holly Wagner with us, Philip Wagner. They're co-pastors at a great church in Los Angeles, California, Oasis Christian Center. We're here actually at Azusa Pacific University in the Los Angeles County. And what a privilege to have them with us. As I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Philip and I actually went to school together, played on the basketball team together, actually spent a lot of time. In fact, I think, Philip, if I'm not mistaken, you were the first person I told that I had become a Christian because I was not raised in a Christian home.
Yeah, that was very influential to me in high school.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? We did this thing together, and what a special time. And then, you know, we kind of went our different ministry ways, if you would, and it's been so great to get reacquainted with you. Also, I am following you on Twitter, so there you go.
Twitter is so awesome because it has to be a man thing. It's 140 characters or less, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I have to work so hard to keep what I want to say to 140 yes. characters. It's probably really easy for you guys. You're like, how do I fill it up?
Maybe we could talk about how to have a Twitter marriage. You know, just keep it to 140 characters.
Yeah, see?
Possible for men, not possible
yeah,
for women.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Women aren't buying that book.
You know, speaking of a book, you've written a great book. It's called God, Chicks, and the Men They Love. And Philip, you'll write a chapter. And then, of course, Holly, you write a chapter. And I loved it. And I love the stories that you tell. Philip, you have a chapter called The Purpose-Driven Wife. And I thought it was really good how you spoke in many ways to women to help them understand purpose and their role. And I want you to tell us about that. Why did you write that particular chapter?
Well, the one thing is I think that all marriages thrive when you are serving the other. Yeah. And so as a husband, I really went through understanding that my role as the head of the marriage is not for everything to go my way or for me to reach
all. It was a good day when he figured that out.
I don't think the Bible means that. That means that right. my goals are a priority, and if we have any energy left or money, then we'll see how you're doing. But it makes me like the captain of the team, and that I don't want to stand before God one day and him say, you know, I had so much for Holly to do, but because you never gave her any opportunity, she never fulfilled my purpose. And so I just felt like I needed to encourage her to make sure I knew what God wants to do in her and through her and make that a priority. And so it just changed the spirit of our marriage. I think sometimes a lot of men love their wives and have sort of an older traditional way of seeing things. And so they do think it's all about them and they love their wives very much. But I think sometimes wives feel unappreciated and not, you know, feel stifled for the most of the marriage. And so I just wanted to encourage her in every way I could.
And, you know, you call yourself the Iron Man. And you have kind of a story with that. Tell us okay. that story.
Yeah. Okay, that has nothing to do with purpose.
But it actually has to do with servant leaders.
Right.
And you talked about being a servant leader. And in some ways, as a man, I think we need to serve our spouses to
right.
help them find that
Definitely.
Purpose. So that's where I got that. That's where I was going.
This is just a thing where, you know, we all have different strengths. And so Holly will put something on. And if it's wrinkled, it doesn't matter. It just looks cool. She's ready to go. And I'm like, I like to have my shirts ironed. I like it to look nice. I'm like, Holly, you're not going to go out wearing that, are you? Let me iron it. So, I mean, she doesn't do very much ironing. I do 95% of it. So I will do the ironing to make sure it looks good. Now, go.
And so he'll tell me, because what if you just take that off, then I'll iron it. And then I just can't decide if he really wants to iron it or if he just wants me out of my clothes. So that's
50-50.
Really, yeah, 50-50. Yeah.
So actually, I've used the ironing thing as a cover.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's both and.
Yes, both and.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you're pretty blunt about physical intimacy and sexuality.
And that is one chapter we wrote together because yeah. we think it works better
sure.
together.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's right. And what's interesting about it is it's sometimes within unashamedly Christian material, they're not as open about sexuality, and yet it's a major part in good ways, but it's also more difficult. I keep finding more and more people struggling with sexuality as well. What's your slant on
the
this?
The title of the chapter is Sex is not a four-letter word, and the purpose behind that is that we will say four-letter word rather than saying the word. And a lot of times in the sexual area of our life, we don't talk about things. We're not right. vulnerable, we're not real, we're not honest. And so talking about needs and what satisfies you and what I like and is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes in Christian circles, it's a thing that we don't talk about. And so how can you have a thriving sex life without that?
Well, and also there, again, looking back at some of the statistics, if 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 women have been abused sexually,
right.
so then now all of a sudden they're going to enter into a marriage and everything's supposed to be okay.
Yeah.
So there even are some of those issues. And then, you know, for those people who have perhaps, you know, led a pretty promiscuous lifestyle, and then they're coming into a marriage having had sex with multiple partners, and now they're promising to have sex with only one. And then there are those who maybe have been celibate, but they were just told, no, 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 sex is bad. And so now it's all supposed to be fun. So I just think there's all this pressure on the first year in marriage, if you will, to have this amazing sex life, and it's unrealistic. And again, two becoming one, it just sounds so much easier than it really is. You know, sexual intercourse is not entirely the one that's talking about. It's an intimacy, which is really built over time.
Right.
And I think, you know, for us, we just made the decision very early on to be honest And I remember one of the first conversations we had, and Philip, you know, what I actually really appreciate about my amazing husband is that he's very honest about his journey. And he just tells some great stories in here. And, you know, I remember one of our first conversations and, you know, Philip saying, "Whoa, what?" After we had, you know, had a little sexual experience, and Philip said, "Whoa, wasn't that great?" And I guess I paused a little too long. And
apparently it was great for only one of us.
Right.
And so that began a real conversation then. And so I just think that oftentimes the couples that we meet, what we find is that they're just not willing to be honest. Or often it's the wife, she feels like if she's honest, then he gets defensive. And that's what happened in the beginning of our marriage, is that I would try to be honest and he would get defensive and then think I'm in it forever. And so I guess if you're just both willing to lay down your ego a little bit and realize we got years to get this thing worked out.
Yeah, I think sometimes husbands will respond and blame, you know, put the blame, rather than listening to what the need and desire is, they will blame the wife.
Right.
So she wants to shut down and say, "Why should I even bring this up? Because it's going to come back on me."
Yeah, it's going to become a conflict as opposed to something that will draw you closer together. You know, I really appreciate it because it is intimacy. You know, physical intimacy is not about the sex act. It's an emotional connection. Women tend to get that better. I mean, they understand that better than men. Sometimes for them, if you say the word intimacy, you know, it's sexuality. But I appreciate you bringing up the issue of talking about it. And, you know, there's moments to do it and there's probably ways to do it. But I'm urging the people that are listening today that if you're struggling in that area, then have a conversation, for goodness sakes. And there are answers and it's dialogue. And like you say, and what I love is, you know, this is a long-term commitment. You know, Kathy and I have been married over 30 years. We're still learning about each other's
needs.
Well,
because things change.
Yes.
Like what was great in the first 10 years, you know, at 50, it's probably going to be a little different.
Right.
And so I just think you have to be committed to the seasons,
right,
you know, of a sex life, your sex life, just like you would be committed to the seasons of, you know, from raising kids to all of it.
Yeah. And a lot of times we're pastoring a church. And so we teach on relationships. This is a key part of it. And still today, people are used to hearing about sex everywhere, in music, on TV, in movies, but not in church.
Yeah.
So even if we're talking about some other topic and we bring sexuality parallel, people laugh because they're taken back that we bring it up in church. But that should be the place where we talk about it and are more honest about it.
Well, God created male and female, and he created our sexuality, and he saw it as very good. And unfortunately, the tapes in our heads are oftentimes is that it's bad.
Right.
Save it until your marriage, but it's dirty, rotten, and horrible.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you have to make that transition.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that in your church, you're talking about it from a God-honoring way.
Yeah.
But it is his creation, after all.
Yeah.
And we have to lay a theological foundation.
We just don't keep
it
secret. I just think that's the problem. When it just becomes a secret, ooh, no. You just keep it honest and real and... it's the way to do it.
Well, you know what? When you're saying keep it honest and real, in some ways, it's summarizing the conversation that we've had here. Because if we are honest and we are real, you know, we're going to make it. We can persevere. And no one said marriage would be easy, but there are times when it is hard. In your book, God Chicks and the Men They Love, it really is a hopeful message. And it's a hopeful message of, hang in there.
Yeah, I that's certainly our heart in writing this book, was we just kept seeing some of the staggering statistics. You know, the average marriage lasts less than 7 years. 200,000, I guess, this year will end before their second anniversary.
Yep.
And I think it's simply because people haven't gotten the tools, the practical, real tools to build a marriage. Marriages are built. They're not, you know, you can't just wish one into existence. You have to build it. And so I just think most people haven't gotten what, you know, builds it. And even just like in the news recently, you think about Alan Tipper Gore ending a 40-year marriage. I thought, what happened? And what is it? And so why would I think I would be any different? Like, what is it that I'm going to do with Philip to prevent, in 15 years when we're at that 40-year mark, from being bored with him or drifting away or something? What is it that I need to do? I'm not judging those two. It made me more question, what is it that I need to do?
Yeah.
So that I, you know, at 40 years, I still think you're hot. I still want to be thinking you're hot, you know, after 40 years.
Pretty good, huh?
And he's smiling.
Talking, baby.
and he's smiling. Great, great input today. Thank you so much for being with us. Philip, Holly, great conversation.
Well, thanks, Jim. We appreciate you and respect your work in ministry so much. So it's good that we could be a part of it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was fun.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Philip and Holly Wagner here on the Homeward Broadcast. Growing in love with your spouse has been our theme, and as you can tell here, recording at the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, and a small studio audience along there with us today, and just having a good time enjoying company with the Wagners. If you want information on Holly's book, God Checks the Men They Love, just go to homeward.com, and the radio broadcast section will take you right to where you need to know. Also, remember, Dr. Jim Burns and his wife, Kathy, have written an outstanding devotional book for couples who don't like to do devotions, but still realize they need to grow spiritually stronger and closer together. And the book is called Closer, and you can order a copy from homeward.com. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that tax-deductible donation to Homeward today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.